Good morning. All right, I love the energy level this morning. The worship team is on fire. Everyone's on fire. I'm going to give you some instructions today, okay? I'm going to give you permission to respond to me. Ken? So I'm giving you permission. If you believe something I say, say yes, say amen. Get up from the chair, clap. Just don't walk away, okay? But you know, I give you permission this morning to respond to the Word of God. Is that okay? All right. Okay, good. So I'm looking forward to it. Help me preach, okay? I want to talk to you this morning about stones. Stones. But let's pray first. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you're such a good God, that you're faithful, and that you're forever good, Lord. And we just want to invite your presence here once again, Lord. Come and have your way. Speak to us. Lord, anoint me even as I bring the word forth this morning, God. Let your name be glorified. Let the name of Jesus be glorified above all else, God. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. What stones do you know? The study of stones is called geology. It's not going to be a geography lesson, but tell me what stones you know. Diamond, ruby, all precious stones in here, okay. Other than that, kidney stones. Okay, someone has kidney stones. Okay. Anything else? Limestone, what? Rolling stones, okay. I knew that was coming, okay? Infinity Stones from the Avengers. Okay, what colors are they? See, don't know. Okay, never mind. Okay, some stones that I know. Do you know a milestone? Milestone is like something that tells you, like, okay, I'm another 10 km away, 5 miles away to there. Rolling Stones, someone said that. Right? The Flintstones. Yeah, familiar with Flintstones? And of course, we know Christ, our cornerstone, right? Yeah, he's our cornerstone. Well, today I want to bring to you a sermon that's called, based on our theme, Going and Growing, and it's based on God's call to Abraham to leave and go. I'm calling it The Stones of Gilgal. The Stones of Gilgal, okay? In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, this is what God says to Abraham. It says, "The Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing." So now I want to bring you to the time where Moses has taken the Israelites out of Egypt into the wilderness, and he's died, and now Joshua is going to take them into the promised land. So we know where we are, okay? All the Old Testament very strong, right? Okay, good. All right, so here we go. So let's start reading. They've been 40 years in the desert. At the end of the book of Deuteronomy, Moses has died, and Joshua takes over the leadership of about 1 million people, okay, of the Israelites, and about to lead them into the promised land. Joshua chapter 1, verse 2. So you have your Bibles. Open it up to the book of Joshua. We're going to just go through it very very quickly and from here and there. So just go back to the map again. So the promised land was this area from the river of Egypt, all the way up to the north, so and to the coast. So this entire area was the promised land. Joshua chapter 1, verse 2 says this. "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all these people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel." God then, you know, holds up the flooding river, the river that was about to flood, it was swelled up, the Jordan River, holds it up when the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant stand there, and all of them cross over this river Jordan on dry land. And this is what the Lord tells Joshua to do in Joshua chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. "Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from each tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourself 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over to, with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight." Joshua 4, 20 to 24. "And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, where are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you, and you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over. and the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord that is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. So the stones are piled up. These 12 stones are piled up in this place called Gilgal. So the first thing I want to say is that I want to bring you to a stones of remembrance. The stones of remembrance. In those days, when you pile up stones and things like that, it's stood as a marker or a reminder of something that had happened, something of significance. Abraham did it at Bethel, and now Joshua's doing it at Gilgal. You know, we do this, right? We set reminders in our phone. We put up verses on our walls, you know, to remind us of the Word of God. We make sure we remember our wife's birthday, our husband's birthday, our wedding anniversary. Those important milestones or things that happen, we do when we see it, we remember it. Or when you see something that is so, you see something, it reminds you of a time past. Sometimes when I'm working during the week, I come into the sanctuary to do some wiring or whatever around, and I look at this section, and it reminds me. This was the place that I proposed to my wife, this exact location right here. Yeah, it was right after the Easter musical, the last night, or I think 2012, and the last night, and then I proposed to you. Some of you, maybe you can remember it, but you know it was happened. And then this was the exact same place where I exchanged my vows to my wife, and so we got married in this church, and right here. So when I look at this section, I think back and like, wow, you know, and I'm reminded of the promises. I'm reminded of the situation that took place around there. So we all do this. We have things that spark our memory. Have you heard a song, and suddenly it brings you back? Yeah. You know, you hear a song and suddenly, oh, yeah, it reminds me of my college days, or it reminds me of of the time when you're first dating your wife, you know, a particular song, something that a marker that makes you remember, okay? And when in this same instance, those stones were supposed, when the children of them, of Israel, were supposed to ask, what are these stones for? They were to answer that Israel crossed over the Jordan on dry land. It was something not man-made. They could not have done it their own. It was recognizing God's hand, and that brought them through. So the first point I want to make is that God was with them. God was with them, and God is with us. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 to 9. It says this, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people. For you were the least of all people," talking about the Israelites here. "But because the Lord loves you and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." Verse 9. "Therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments." So we need to ask ourselves, what have we looked back that we can remember? Have we seen God faithful in our lives? Have we seen God faithful in your lives? You know, and one of the things that we can do is actually journal or write it down. And when we go back and we read through these things, like, wow, you know, we recognize God has been faithful. God has worked in our lives. God has done some miracles in our lives. We recognize that it wasn't our own doing, but it was God's doing. And when we look back and remember, and it's the hand of God, our confidence, our boldness increases, because when God did it before, he can do it again. Okay, this is where you respond. Remember permission to respond? When God did it before, he can do it. You know what permission is, or not? That means you can do it. When God did it before, he can do it? Yes. And we need to remind ourselves that again and again and again, that when God has done something before, because he is constant, he is faithful, he is consistent, that he can do it again. So when we go through these challenges or these tough times or impossible situations, we look back at those stones or whatever reminder or remembrance that we have put up, and we recognize that we have a faithful God. We recognize that we have a faithful God. But we humans, we forget easily. You know, there's a tendency to always be unhappy or unsatisfied with the way things are. And you know, even though we have so many good things, but there's always that dissatisfaction. Just the other day, I was kind of complaining to my wife, you know, have to wake up so early, you know, get my daughter ready, send her to kindergarten and come back, get ready, go to work, then lunchtime, go pick her up, send her to my mom's house, come back and send her to swimming and send her to ballet. And I was just like murmuring a bit. And then my wife said, "Thank God you have a car." And I was like, "Yeah." You know, but that's what we do. We always look at the side of where we are dissatisfied, but we don't look at the side that, wow, God has given us so much. There's so much that we can be thankful for. There's so much that we can develop a heart of gratitude for. Rather than be on the side of complaining, we can be on the side where, wow, God has given us so much. There is gratitude that we need to develop. And we need to do it on a daily basis. Cultivate that spirit. You know, last week we were listening to Evangelist Benny Tan. You know, he had so many stories of how God brought him from one place to another without petrol. If you were here in the first service, second service was a completely different sermon and all. But, you know, it reminds me of how God has been faithful in my life. I entered full-time ministry on January 1st, 2008. After about 10 years of working, last month of 2007, I resigned and then prepared myself to get into full-time ministry. And then it was the last Sunday of 2007, after Christmas and all, we had a guest speaker, and I was getting cold feet. I'm like, "God, is this really what you want me to do? You know, I don't know what I'm getting into. I'm just trusting you. I'm just going in, but I'm scared. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, and I'm just feeling that inside. Outside, I'm just sitting there, but inside, I'm just feeling it." And then towards the end of the sermon, this guest speaker suddenly just points to me and calls me out, and he prays over me. And he gives me this verse. And it's a verse that I've held on to, I've clung on to, and I'm still holding on to. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:24. It says this: "He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it." He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. What is the it? It is everything. He will carry you through. He will sustain you. He will provide for you. He will walk with you. He will support you. He is your strength. He is your rock. Come on, respond. He is your rock. He is your response. Yes. Okay. Some of you are responding. That's good. We need to build this culture here, okay? If you get excited about something, come on, just respond. Respond to it physically because you know it's happening in your spirit. Don't just sit there. Respond. You know, when we know that God is faithful and He's going to carry you through, there is something that happens inside of you. And we recognize when God is faithful, it gives us the strength to go on. God is with us. You look at verse 9 again from Deuteronomy 7. "Therefore know that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments." Yes, amen. And the second point is this, that the new generation that came, this Joshua generation, this new generation, this new generation needs to have its own miracle and experience God. You know, the Israelites knew that God was with them. He parted the Red Sea and that whole bunch of them crossed over the Red Sea on dry land. But this new generation, they hadn't experienced a miracle like that. It was all, "Yes, my father told me this. My father told me that this has happened. Yes, my father told me that the Red Sea parted and they walked through." They were still getting manna from heaven. They were experiencing some sort of miracle, but they needed this one big thing. And then the Jordan River stopped and they crossed on dry land. Parents, let me speak to you for a while. Just like we know that we cannot experience God from our parents' faith, our children cannot experience God from our faith. Yes, we can lead them, we can guide them, we can position them in a way that they can experience, but we need to do that actively. We need to lead them to find God for themselves. No, I thank God for my parents. I remember the days when they'll drag me out of bed every Sunday morning, you know, get me dressed and drag me to church. I'll be still asleep in the car, you know, and then getting there and then come out and entering church, I'll still be like half asleep and all, you know, and that went on for years. But after some time, it was something that came naturally for me. Sunday church, non-negotiable. Whatever time you come back on a Saturday night, Sunday is church. Sunday morning is church. Get ready, get to church. You know, and after a while, they didn't need to force me anymore. As a youth, I used to ride a motorbike, so I'll get up early, get on a bike, ride for 30 minutes, half an hour to from Ampang all the way to Brickfields, you know, and get into church. And I'll be, we have this term, philo. You know, first in, last out from church. You know, like, and most of the tech guys, you know, this is the term for tech guys, philo, first in, last out. But it was something that I had a passion for. You know, I wanted to be in church. I wanted to be what was going on in church. I just wanted to be in the presence of God or see what God is doing and be a part of church. Because I knew God was there and there was a passion that was growing inside of me. Not because it was a chore or a routine, but it was something that I had experienced God for myself. Now this week, as I was driving my daughter to school, to kindergarten, I asked her, so, do you know who Jesus is? And she said, yeah, Jesus is God. I said, okay, so do you speak to Jesus? Sometimes. I said, okay. Does Jesus speak to you? No, you know. You know, he doesn't speak to me. Then I was going to say, you know, when God speaks to you, he doesn't speak to you in your ear. He talks to you through the word of God or when you pray and things like that. And just as I was saying that, something caught inside of me. And I stopped. And I felt the Lord telling me, why are you putting me in a box? Why are you putting me in a box? You know, we do that. We experience God in one way. And the next generation, sometimes you say, this is the only way you can experience God. This is the only way that you can experience God. Or this is what we can impart to them. But no. And then I stopped myself and I said, look, if you want, she told me, I want God to speak to me like how you talk to me so I can hear in my ear. She said that, I mean, childlike faith. I said, okay, fine. If you want God to speak to you that way, go ahead and ask God. Just go ahead and ask God, you know. You never know He will talk to you. Just have that faith and just pray and ask God. Okay, Lady Bible School. And she went in. You know, but it's like, we should not put God in a box. This is the only way that He can work. This is the only area that He can work. This is the only situation that He can work in. This is too big for God. No. This is where God is. He's not there. We tend to put God in a box. This is the only way that God can speak to us. But no, God's bigger than that. And we need the next generation to know that. We need the next generation to rise up, to know and experience God greater than we have. Yes, come on. Feel it. I told her that. I said, go, experience God. And I'm waiting, you know, next week when I, school holidays. After that, when I drive, I'm going to ask her again, so has God spoken to you? And if she says yes, I'm going to be like, whoa, okay? You know, I'm excited for that. I'm looking forward to that. Let our next generation be even greater than this generation. Empower them, embolden them to know God like never before. Get them to experience it. Sunday school teachers, you know, children's church teachers, empower them, show them, introduce them to God. It's time that we just rise up and say, come on, you need to experience God in your own way. You need to understand who God is. We need to experience who God is. Don't just keep Him. This is how I knew God, so you must know God this way. He is bigger than what we can imagine. And others can see the hand of God on us. Others can see the hand of God on us. You know, that stone of remembrance, it not only reminds us, but it also lets other people know. People are going to be walking across there and say, what were these stones for? What were these stones for? Why are they arranged this way? There's a story behind those stones that the Israelites walked across on dry land. when Joshua sent out the spies to look out of Jericho where they were pursued, they hid in this in a prostitute's house. And this is what she says in Joshua chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. And he said to the man, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water. We have heard of how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Ammonites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven. The Lord your God, she says, is a God in heaven and on earth beneath. And then Joshua hears this, and he acknowledges that God is with them. In Joshua 2:24, he says this, and they said to Joshua, truly the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands. For indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us. It's not just what God has done in the past, but what God is also doing in the present, and that others will know and recognize it. In Joshua chapter 5, verse 1, this is what the rest of the Canaanites are saying. So it was when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea, you saw on the map just now on the north side, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from the children before the children of Israel until we had crossed over, that their heart melted and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. This is not a heart melting when you see your loved one coming. Oh, my heart melts when I see you. When I smell you, my heart melts. This is not that kind of a heart melting. This is a heart melting out of fear. This is like taking a hot knife and cutting through butter, that kind of a melting. When they recognize that God is with these Israelites. And the same thing, people will know that God is with you. And when God is for you, who can be against you? There will be no weapon forged against you that will prosper. When you're in your office, when you're in your situation, in the politics that go on in your office, no weapon forged against you will prosper. People will recognize who God is in your life because you stand for who God is. A melted heart. You can't do anything with a melted heart. Church, we need to recognize what God has done and what He's doing and what He's going to do. Because when God spoke to Joshua, before they had crossed the Jordan, before they had gone in, this is what God says, I have given you this land. I have given you this land. Even before they had crossed the Jordan, God spoke in the past tense. And that is the promises of God. It's yes and amen. It has happened. I have blessed you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's in the past tense and it is in the past, present, continuous tense. Even if it has not taken place in front of you. Already but not yet. Already but not yet. He has said it. It will come to pass. He is faithful. Amen? And the second stone is the stone of flint. Not flintstones, huh? The stone of flint. I think flintstones got it from the Bible, actually. You know, so the flintstones. Joshua chapter 5, verses 2 to 4. At the time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives for yourselves and circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time. So Joshua made flint knives for himself and circumcised the sons of Israel at the heel of the foreskins. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came out of Egypt who were males, all the men of war, had died in the wilderness on the way after they had come out of Egypt. Verse 7 to 9. Then Joshua circumcised their sons whom he had raised up in their place, for they were uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. So it was when they had finished circumcising all the people that they stayed in that place in the camp till they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, this day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. What's so big about circumcision? What's so big that every Jew, that every Israelite had to go through it? Male Israelite had to go through it. We have to go back to Genesis chapter 17, 7 to 11, and to recognize its significance. Let me read it to you. "And I will establish my covenant." This is God speaking to Abraham. "I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generation for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me, you, and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you." The act of circumcision was a sign of a covenant between God and Abraham. Not just a contract, but a covenant which is greater than that. And this second time of circumcision is this new generation. It was a reminder to them, a renewing of that covenant with this generation. That every descendant of Abraham was heir to the covenant of God. That God was with them and they will inhabit the promised land as an everlasting possession. There was a new season. A new generation, but the same promises of God. The same promises of God, even in this new season. See, in every season, we need to remember the promises of God. That it is yes and amen, that He is faithful, and that He will see it through. These Israelites, they went 430 years as slaves in Egypt, and then another 40 years in the wilderness, and now they've crossed over. In that 470 years, their identity in God was clouded. Every time there was a difficult time in the desert, what did they do? They murmured. They complained. Oh, it's tough. Oh, what's tough here? No. If only we can go back to Egypt. Can you imagine? They were wishing they would go back and become slaves. They were wishing they would go back into Egypt and become slaves. They had developed a mentality that was defeated, a slave mentality. God had taken the Israelites out of Egypt, but God also needed to take the Egypt out of the Israelites. He had taken them physically out of Egypt into the promised land, but mentally, Egypt was still in them. Egypt was still in them. That slave mentality was there. He needed to cut off that way of thinking, that defeated attitude, that they are a worthless people living in rejection or as a lost nomadic people. That's why this whole act of circumcision was so important. It was a cutting away of the way of thinking and a way of thinking of the past and living of the past. And God tells Joshua in Joshua 5:9, it says, the Lord says to Joshua, "This day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you." Now that reproach, it means the shame, the disgrace of being slaves under Egypt. The shame and the disgrace. He needed to remind them of the true identity of who they are. Now, I'm going to read Deuteronomy 7, 6 to 9 again. But now, don't think of it as Israelites, but as us, as heirs to the covenant of Abraham through Jesus Christ. Let me read it to you. "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself. A special treasure above all the peoples of the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you nor chose you because you were more in number than any people. For you were the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves you and because he would keep that oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." Verse 9, take it personally as God speaking to you. "Therefore, know that the Lord, your God, He is God. The faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments. This is God's promise to us today. We need to embrace it. We need to take it on. We need to acknowledge it and move and flow and walk and live in that promise. Abraham Lincoln, the American president who authored the Declaration of Emancipation, he says this: where slavery is, liberty cannot be. And where liberty is, there slavery cannot be. We claim to live in liberty. We claim to live in the promised land. But do we still have Egypt in us? Do we still have that mentality of Egypt, that slave mentality? In modern language, we could possibly say that it's a trauma. We can experience trauma as personally or even on a collective level. A death in the family, a loss of your job or your income, your medical or health issues. See, trauma separates us from reality, from our centering in God and impacts our sense of safety even. It can break a fundamental connection that we have with our own bodies, how we think, how we operate. It can set in motion a series or a pattern of behavior and reactivity that can further damage our connections with people, with each other, with God, with even how we see ourselves. Trauma. We can be living in the promised land that God has given us, but sometimes we are stuck in the reproach of Egypt. Can I get the worship team up, please? See, after the circumcision, this generation that healed, and then they celebrated the Passover together. They celebrated the Passover to remember what God had done in Egypt. To remember again. And for some of us, we need to engage in this two-step process. Cut away the hurt, the unforgiveness, the grief. Oh, there's a blank there. You fill it up. That has been keeping us in Egypt. And we need to celebrate the goodness and the victories of God in our lives. I'm going to give you a few moments to just think about this. Is there anything that has been holding you back, that has been present in your lives, but you may know or you may not even know about it? There was someone in my past, a guy that we kind of had not a very good relationship and we kind of just like separated. We were just out of each other's circles. And then recently, in the last few years, he's come back into my circle and all of that. And I realized that, there was something about him irritated me. Just the way what he said, the way he moved a chair, just his presence alone. There was something that irritated me. I never recognized that it was there. It was just there, but I didn't even see it. There was an insecurity in me, and I felt threatened by him. I felt inferior to him. It was there, and it was, it's like a, do you have people like that? You know, just the very presence of that person starts to, And I didn't recognize it until one day my wife pointed it out. And I needed to go to God to it. And the best thing is that person doesn't even know that it's happening to me. And it has nothing to do with that person. It's just something inside of me. You know, they say unforgiveness is like taking a knife and stabbing yourself and hoping that the other person will feel hurt. But the only person that feels hurt is yourself. And you are going through that. I needed to go to God and say, Lord, what is this feeling? what is this feeling inside? Why is it there? Why is it rubbing me the wrong way every time? And I needed to just take it and just put it at the foot of the Lord and say, Lord, I don't want it anymore. And let me tell you, it's a process. It can happen just like that, but most of the times it's a process. It takes time to just let go of these emotions that were there. But let me tell you this. Don't let your past stop you from your glorious future. Don't let your past stop you from your glorious future. If things have happened in your past that you're not proud of, don't let it be something that entangles you, that holds you, that stops you from moving forward. If you've had a divorce in the past, don't let it stop you from being full and living a full life to God. If you've lost a child, if you've lost a parent, if you've lost someone so close to you that grief can just consume you, it's time to just draw that line and say, Lord, no more. I surrender to you and I move on. I'm not going to let that control me for the rest of my life. You look at that picture, even though the past is all dried up and dark and dusty, there needs to be a line that is drawn and say, Lord, no more, no more, no more, no more. I'm not going to let it influence my future anymore. I'm not going to let it be something that entangles me, that just keeps me going 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the line. It's okay to grieve, but the grief should not hold you back for your future. Take your time to grieve, but let go. Because there is so much potential. There is so much God wants to do in your life if you would allow Him in the promised land. But if you're going to have Egypt dragging you back inside you, around you, in your mind, in the way you think, the way you operate, in everything that you do, you're not going to achieve your fullest potential in what God wants and has in store for you. Don't let it continue for years and years and years. If you go down to the New Testament in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4, 5, and 9, this is what it says, coming to Jesus, coming to Him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones. Come on, look at the person next to you and say, you're a living stone. You're a living stone. You are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer us spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Himself. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the goodness, the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Out of darkness. Out of darkness into His marvelous light. Out of darkness into His marvelous light. Out of darkness into His marvelous light. Don't carry that darkness into the light. Don't carry that darkness into the light. There's light all around you, but if there's darkness inside, don't hold on to it anymore. It's time to let it go. And remember that our God is faithful, that stones, that remembers that in years, in the past, God has been faithful again and again and again and again. So why hold on to it anymore? Why hold on to that hurt? Why hold on to that past? Why hold on to something that just hurts you day in, day out? It's time to let it go. If you've got a piece of paper or a pencil or you want to do it on your phone, I just encourage you, just take it out right now. We're going to do something very practical. If you can just think back a little bit and just write down a significant moment in your past where God has been faithful to you. Just take a few moments and do that. God has been faithful to you. That one moment, that few moments, just write it down. And in days to come, you're going to look back at this and say, God, you've been faithful. And you will do it again. Just give you a few moments to do that. And once you've done that, ask the Lord, Lord, is there any Egypt in me? Is there any Egypt in me? Is there anything that is not of you, that is holding me back, that is limiting me from achieving my fullest potential in you? Just write it down and begin to say, Lord, I'm letting go. I'm cutting it off. So when I enter into that promised land, I'm going to achieve my fullest potential in you. I'm not going to carry this Egypt with me. I'm not going to carry this Egypt with me into the promised land. I'm going to let go. Now, sometimes what we think reality is, it's not real. Sometimes we carry that hurt, and something that slightest thing that someone says or does can push us the wrong way, can cause a reaction within us. But it's so real to us, but it's not the reality of God. It's time for us to ask, God, give me that reality of who you are and who I am in you. Who I am in you. What is it that we want to just let go? And as you're praying, and as you're thinking about this, worship team is going to sing us a song. It's okay, just sit down and just take in the words. Ask God to just reveal what it is that you need to just let go of.